Now, in the case of Abu Jahl, who were his children? He had many children. Two of them that are relevant to us are Utba and Utayba. Utba and Utayba. Utba was married to Ruqayya radiallahu anha. Who's Ruqayya? Bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Utba was married to the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ruqayya. And Utayba was married to Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, Bint Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these two sons of Abu Lahab were married to the two daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now he had other sons and daughters. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had other sons as well. But two were married to two. And this was before Nabuwa, before Prophethood. And Abu Lahab was very proud of his sons and very proud of his children. He thought them to be something that would take him out of any hardship. Some of the ulama of tafsir, they mentioned that when these ayats, Tabbat yada Abi Lahab wa tab, were revealed, Abu Lahab, he responded by saying that I عندي مال والكسب. I have wealth and children, strong lineage to protect me. And he said this to himself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed, ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب. That they will not benefit you. Tayyib, Abu Lahab had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of money. And he was very stingy in a way. He wouldn't spend, he would save a lot. And his sons were very strong. His children were strong. But here what happened is, before Badr, when the people were going, he didn't want to go. As mentioned by Ibn Ishaq and others in the authentic narrations, he sent somebody who had a debt owed to him to fight in his place, who was killed in Badr anyway. But he felt that because he had money, he could be saved from fighting against Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hence be saved. He thought his money, the money people owed him, would save him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a disease upon him. Do you think that if you lock yourself in a big tower, you think you'll be saved from death?
No.
Big houses, big walls, bulletproof, this, that, you think you'll be saved from death? No. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written your death, Malik al-Maut will come to you and you have no chance. Abu Lahab, he got this curse, this disease that started where? With his hands. And it started to grow. And it had boils that would smell. And it was highly contagious. And his own children that he was so proud of, when they saw him in this state, they didn't come close to him. Until he was at the point of death. And at the point of death, they didn't even take him to bury him. They didn't even take him because they were afraid to catch that disease. His kasab did him no good. His children went and got poor people, people who were from outside, and told them to get rid of his body. Some of the ulama of tarikh said that he was still alive. And when they were pushing him with big sticks because they didn't want to touch him, he would make sounds, but nobody cared. And they took his dead body and they took it out to a dump. And they threw it there. Didn't even get a grave. Threw it out there. All those pride, all those high hopes, what happened? Nothing. It didn't benefit him any. The son of Abu Jahl, he, two of them, Tayyib, both of them, upon the order of Abu Jahl, they divorced the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you look at Abu Jahl, he had all the means of being successful. He had the best lineage. Like some people today, they're very proud, we're Sayyid, we are Ashraf, we are Ahlul Bayt, we are Arab, we are Utaybi, we are Tamimi, we are this, we are that, we are Arumu, we are Darud, we are Hawiya, we are this Zayd, that Zayd, we have this pride, this, we are this hot, we are this. Many people have ways to be proud today. Abu Lahab was Arab, was Qurayshi, was from Banu Hashim, was the uncle of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was the father-in-law to the daughters of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the neighbor of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was eloquent, handsome, rich, best lineage there could be. Was he successful?
No.
Nasab will do nothing for you if you don't have iman, if you don't have taqwa. He destroyed all of that. He told his son to go and divorce يعني, the daughters of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Utbah, he went a step further. He had originally claimed to be a Muslim. But when Surah Najm was revealed, he made kufr of it. He said, I made kufr of this surah. Even though he didn't say, I made kufr of the whole Quran, he did just this surah, he became a kafir. What does that tell you? In aqidah. What is the point we make? If you make kufr of even one letter of the Quran, you become kafir. You cannot say, I'll take something in the Quran, but we need to rewrite the Quran. It's a modern century now. No rewriting the Quran. Let's save the questions till the end, inshallah. Yani, the Quran is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to believe in it, all of it. Every letter, every ayah, every surah, every hukam. Every shari'i hukam in the Quran, we believe in it. We believe in the sharia. We believe in hudud. We believe in all, everything in the Quran. And the one who makes kufr of one part of the Quran makes kufr of all of it. When he made kufr of this, of Surah Najm, he came in a disrespectful manner. And the hadith is reported by Muqatil in his tafsir, one of the early books of tafsir, with Sanad. He says he came and he spit in the direction of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And this is a big disrespect. You know, when you spit outside in the street, you shouldn't spit towards the Qibla. The hadith on this. And the one who spits in the direction of the Qibla, not just in the masjid, even regularly, that spit will be thrown back on them on the Day of Judgment. Questions afterwards. Tayyip? So here, this shows a disrespect of a great magnitude. When he came and he spit, not on, but in the direction of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he divorced the daughter of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and declared his kufr. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was hurt by this. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was insan. He was a bashar, and he was a human. He had feelings. And his own uncle is giving him, what's the fault of his daughters? What crime, what bad thing did they do? Nothing. Good, pious, good women being divorced. Why? Just because their father is a Nabi of Allah, calling towards the Haqq. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma sallid alayhi kalbaka. Yani he was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, akalahu. Yani, oh Allah, put upon him one of your dogs. Not a kalb, but the dog from the dogs of Allah, so he can eat. And this dua came out of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time of feeling that pain. Even though Rasulullah SAW was very patient in his dua, he usually didn't make dua against people, but enough is enough. When Abu Lahab heard this, he became afraid. This is very interesting. If he didn't believe in Rasulullah SAW, why was he afraid of his dua? Because in their hearts, what does the word kafir mean? Linguistically. The one that hides something. We use it istalahan for a disbeliever, but that's not the linguistic meaning. Even a farmer is called a kafir because he puts a seed, and he's not making takfir on farmers, but he puts a seed, he hides it. Why do we call a kafir, a disbeliever, a kafir? Why? Because they know the truth in their heart, but they hide it. Why do they have Qur'ans in their Congress libraries, and Jefferson had a Qur'an, and everybody has a Qur'an here? Why? They know. Why do they put the one eye on things? Because they know. They know about Dajjal. But they hide the truth. So here, Abu Lahab, he knew the da'wah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the truth, but he hid it. When he heard this du'a from the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew it was going to happen. So he took his son out. He sent him on a caravan to Sham. And he told the people that when you sleep, put my son in the middle, so nobody can attack him. And put around him the strong men of Quraysh, armed. And put around them on the outer circle the animals, camels and horses. Why? Because if a wild animal comes, he will attack one of the camels and eat it. Or he will attack one of the horses and eat it. He's after food. If somebody tries to rob and come, they will get stopped by the guards. He will be protected in the middle. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained it, what happened is they went to Sham, to an area where the people told them that we have lions like you have dogs. And for us, like how dogs run our little towns, we have so many lions here. And then, right then, it clicked. Al-Kalb bin Kilab Allah. And your dog from the dogs of Allah. The dogs of Allah are not the street dogs, but lions. But they said, we're protected. If a lion comes, he's going to eat meat. What's he after? They went to sleep, and that night, a lion came. He went past the animals. He didn't take a camel or a horse to eat. He went past them. And those animals didn't make noise. And he went past the sleeping guards of the Quraysh. He didn't attack them. To the middle of the caravan and attacked who? Utbah. And tore him to pieces. Finished. This is the kasab that Abu Lahab was so proud of. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he married those daughters to who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained to be better, to be more fitting to be the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and both Umm Kulthum and Ruqayya at different times, because two sisters cannot be married at once by one man, but they were both married to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Radiallahu anhu, he was married to both of them later. Tayyib. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues. Sayasla naran dhatalaha. Sa, now we get into the future tense. Sa and sofa can both be used. There is khilaf ulama, what's the difference in things. But to show that very soon he will enter a nar dhat lahab. That has lahab. That's very interesting. Tawbikh in the Quran. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now making fun of Abu Lahab, pointing back at him. That he was very proud. Abu Lahab, I'm so good looking. Abu Lahab, I'm so proud of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you love the flame so much? Wait. You're going to enter it. You're going to enter that fire, and then there's going to be a flame, and it won't be any fun then. And this is one of the reasons why Abu Lahab, that kunya was used. For this tawbih, for this warning, for this harsh reminder. That this person will soon, asim lil istiqbal, will enter nar. An-nar huna, yani maf'ul bihi. Dhat al-lahab. Sifa wa mudaf ilayh. Which fire? Dhat al-lahab. The one, the flame. To show that what he was proud of in reality will become his demise. What he was so, yani had so much kibar for, will enter him into the fire, and that fire of a nar for Jahannam is nothing to play with. It's nothing good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then continues, وَمْرَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَتَبِ. Hammal, what does hammal mean? The one who carries. Al-hatab has many meanings, and we'll get into the meaning of it. First, wamratuhu, and his wife. Imra'atu is used for wife, and so is zawj. And you will find imratu fir'aun, used for the wife of Fir'aun. Even though she was a pious woman, And here, Imratuhu, referring to Jamil, even though she was a bad woman. And we see Zawja being used, Anta wa Zawjuka, يعني being used for Adam alayhi salam about Hawa alayhi salam. So, what is the difference between Imra and Zawja? Here there's a deep linguistic discussion amongst the ulama of the Arabic language, but I'll summarize. When there is something missing from the life of a woman, whether it is that she doesn't have children, or she is not raising those children correctly, and she's not raising a household properly, then in the Arabic language it would be called Imra. Imratul Fir'aun, she was a good woman, but she had no children.